Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It continues to be my pleasure to be able to do this. I'm Brian from New York City at the Small Business Leadership Summit here in Manhattan. And today I'm going to be moderating a panel of chief economists, Ray Keating and Chad Moutre. We're going to be talking about how small business owners are doing these days and what they need to do to be part of the solution. So I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, though, we got a lot more work to do here. I want to introduce you to a new friend. Marie Griffin is with us. Marie is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research, and she joins us to talk to us about a very important topic that's called loser pays, the loser pays system of lawsuit practices. And as I say, she's our new friend, Marie Griffin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dem. It's nice to be on.
It's good to have you here, Marie, and as you know, many of your fellows at the Manhattan Institute have been on my show quite a few times. In fact, your leader, Jim Copeland, was on just the other day, and he told me about this white paper that you've been working on, the Greater Justice, Lower Costs white paper, how a loser pays rule would improve the American legal system. One of the things that I know, Marie, is that the amount of money that frivolous lawsuits cost small business owners in America every year is in the billions, and that's enough of a reason for me to want to look for a better idea. What do you think?
Oh, I agree entirely. I think the financial crisis, if anything, makes it even more important because access to credit is tighter now for small businesses, and you know, big corporations get sued a lot too, and some of those lawsuits are low merit lawsuits, but because they are so large, they can budget for it. You know, it's
right.
A line item on their budget, and they have in-house lawyers, and then they pass a lot of that in the prices that consumers pay for goods and services. But for small businesses, it's different. For a small business, a lawsuit, particularly a low merit lawsuit, is this sudden debilitating shock to the system. You know, and you wind up writing checks for thousands of dollars in attorney's fees that may have been intended for next month's payroll. So this is a cause of death for small businesses. It's something we need to look at cutting back on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think before we get into the loser pay system, how it works, which I we're going to do, folks, in just a little bit, I think it's important that we set the stage, Marie, for how egregious, how ugly, how expensive our current system is. And I'm going to start with a couple of numbers here that you've provided in your white paper, Marie. You said that the direct cost of tort litigation in the United States reached $247 billion in 2006. That's, folks, that's $825 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. Marie, that's ridiculous.
It's really quite amazing, and it's roughly twice what is being spent in most other Western democracies as a share of GDP. We're spending roughly twice as much of our gross domestic product on litigation expenses. That's basically paying the lawyers and the administrative costs of the court system, as
right.
is everybody else. And
right.
and I think we need to take a look at what we're doing wrong because it makes us uncompetitive.
Here's another number, and see, these are the kinds of things I like to give my audience. Because these are the kinds of things that have handles on them. These are the kind of things that they'll take away, they'll remember. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to write this down because it's going to be on the test. The amount, this is according to Marie's research here, the amount that's spent on tort litigation every year in the United States is greater than what Americans spend every calendar year on new automobiles. Think about that, folks. I'm going to say that again. We spend more money on lawsuits than we do on what we spend for buying for the entire automobile industry. That's a staggering number, Marie.
Yes, it really. People are very surprised when they find out just how big a percentage of the economy is wrapped up in this process. And these aren't even the actual transfer payments from, say, plaintiffs to from defendants to plaintiffs, or settlement amounts. These are just the transaction costs of litigation.
Just,
this is basically
just the cost.
What we're
You're not even talking about the settlements, right?
Exactly. We're paying this for lawyers and judges. That's what this is. So this is a tremendously expensive system. And unfortunately, the United States has a very unique rule called the American rule, under which each side of a dispute pays their own lawyers out of their own pocket, regardless of who's right and wrong. And that encourages low-merit lawsuits because...
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, we're going to find out about our American system, why it's not as good as the European loser-pay system, and there's also some insurance that could be proposed. We're going to do that after these messages.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil, within our cavalry's a thing we search to know about.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askbiz.biz, where you get small business answers now, and of course my blog, jimsblog.biz. But if you just remember, you know, I have to remember all three of those. Just remember the mothership, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and you can even type in jimblassingame.com. That'll get you to the mothership, and from there you can find the blog, you can find our knowledge base, and all the other things that we do here. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it, and we send it to you every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Marie Griffin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. If you're Googling her, I got Skype on my mind today. If you're Googling Marie, let me spell her name for you because it's a little bit different. G-R-Y-P-H-O-N. Griffin. It's pronounced like it had the F's in it, but it's P-H-G-R-Y-P-H-O-N. Marie Griffin, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. And we're talking about the United States tort system, which is called the American rule. Is that right, Marie? The American rule?
That's right. We are actually almost alone in the world in having what is called the American rule, which basically means that each party to a lawsuit has to pay their own lawyers out of their own pocket, regardless of who's right and who's wrong. Now, almost everyone else in the world has a different system called loser pays, and that just means that whoever loses a civil lawsuit, whether it's the plaintiff or the defendant, has to cover the reasonable attorney's fees of the winner. And this basically has two advantages. The first is it better compensates the party that's in the right. You know, if you're legally in the right, if you're doing nothing wrong, then you should be made whole. And if you're the defendant, that means not, you know, being dragged through an incredibly expensive process when you've done nothing wrong. If you're the plaintiff, it means being fully compensated for your injuries. And that's not true under the American system because often lawyers take 30, 40% of what you win when you go to trial and you're right if you're the plaintiff. The other big advantage of a loser pays rule is that it discourages low merit or nuisance lawsuits. Right now we're in a position where lawyers can file these low-merit lawsuits and know that defendants will feel blackmailed to settle them because if the defendants don't settle them, if they go to trial and win, they'll still be out thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. And
we all know about the corporate lawyers who remind the attorneys and the plaintiffs, the smaller plaintiffs, the individuals or the small businesses that we got lawyers who have nothing else to do. So if it's going to cost you a lot of money to pursue this case, and it intimidates them, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, that happens.
I spent some time in Europe, and I've talked to them about their marketplace and about their legal system a little bit. And when I first realized years ago that they had this loser pay system, I said, you know, that's of all the things that I think that Europe is right and that we don't need to be following them on, like their health insurance policies, like their like their labor plans, like, you know, their attitude about a lot of things. Taxation, for example, their attitude about risk is a loser attitude, as far as I'm concerned. The one thing that they do in Europe that I think we ought to take a harder look at is this loser pay system. And
that's the traditional system that was in place in England and in the American colonies for a time. And America just sort of drifted away from that system, and it was a mistake. That was an English common law rule we should have kept.
How did we get away from it? Was it the rise of the tort bar? When did we go wrong?
You know, there are a couple of historians that have looked into that, and the answer is not very interesting. Colonies and states drifted away from it slowly for no very strong or interesting reasons. It's just sort of ad hoc. Some people have claimed that it had to do with the unpopularity of lawyers, that they didn't want to allow lawyers to recover fees in a separate proceeding just because lawyers were not liked very much. But it sure backfired if it was an effort to crack down on lawyers.
And it didn't change lawyers' PR at all, did it?
No. If this was an effort to do something less than nice for lawyers, it backfired horribly.
Exactly. So now, but we do have some, in your white paper, you discussed some examples of where in the United States there has been some experience with loser pays.
That's right. Actually, you know, we think about this as being a foreign idea, a European idea, but we have tried it in America, and our most noteworthy example is the state of Alaska, which just never abandoned its loser pays rule. It's had a loser pays rule longer than its own state.
Well, and according to your work here, their costs for litigation is low.
Their costs, overall litigation costs, are below average. They're below average for the United States, and they're a little below average even for other rural countries. The most interesting thing about Alaska, I think, is if you look at their docket and its composition, the percentage of lawsuits that are this kind or that kind.
Right.
In Alaska, family law makes up 60% of the docket, which is a lot more than the 40% it makes up in the rest of the country. And
right.
Courts are only half the share of all lawsuits in Alaska that they are in the United States.
Mm.
What's interesting about that is that loser pays applies to torts and does not apply to family. What you can sort of conclude
you
is
can
that
sure,
in Alaska,
that's a little loser pays petri dish there, isn't it? You can kind of see what's going on there. Hold on to that thought. We're going to be right back, folks, with Marie Griffin, Passing Game, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. More to come after these messages.
The faster we run, the further away the dreams of great days become.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from New York City at the Small Business Leadership Summit. And right now, though, we're interviewing our new friend Marie Griffin, who's senior fellow with the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And we're talking about loser pays, a loser pay legal system. Folks, this is something I don't know what it would take, and I'm going to ask Marie that in a second. But this is something that we all need to look at. You need to do a little more research. You need to find this report that Marie has put together. And it's plain English, folks. It's not long. It wouldn't be hard to read. It won't seem like homework. But I think it's the kind of thing that we all need to try to get behind. Marie, tell us a little bit about Manhattan Institute, how we can find your report, and how we can take steps to participate.
Okay, well, the Manhattan Institute is a think tank in New York, its mission is to develop ideas that foster economic choice and individual responsibility. It works on issues running from taxes to health care, energy, legal reform, which is what I work on, policing, homeland security, urban issues, and a lot of others. And if you want to find my report or anything else about the Manhattan Institute, you can go to www.manhattan-institute.org.
So check that out, folks. And the report is called Greater Justice, Lower Cost, right?
Yes, that's correct.
That's the title.
Talk to us about encapsulate the benefits of loser pays.
Right. talk to us about this insurance system that would go along with the litigation insurance that will go along with a loser pays system.
Sure. Well, you know, the benefits of loser pays are pretty obvious, and we discussed those in the last segment.
Right.
So why isn't this a wildly popular idea? Well, the reason is because of a concern that often people express who say, look, we're worried about middle-class plaintiffs who have good cases, you know, but they can't afford to risk the family nest egg. So they think they'll probably win, but the court system isn't perfect, and they're unwilling to run even the small risk of being on the hook for, you know, a huge mm-hmm. fee award that could, you know, destroy the equity in their home or something similar.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a solution to this problem. This problem is solved around the world by something called legal expenses insurance. And you can buy an insurance policy that insures against the risk of having to pay a fee award at the same time that you file a lawsuit. So you don't have to pay monthly premiums in advance.
Really?
You can do this as a one-time deal at the time that you file the lawsuit. And because most
only plaintiffs can apply for the insurance?
No, defendants can too, although defendants tend to carry, you know, monthly insurance against the possibility of legal expenses.
So if you're a business, you're more likely to carry that kind of insurance.
Yes,
but if you're
more likely
individual...
to carry the traditional monthly insurance, whereas if you're a plaintiff, you're more likely to buy this. It's what is called after-the-event litigation insurance.
Right.
That you buy at the same time that you file a lawsuit, and it protects you against the possibility of having to pay attorney fees.
But doesn't that sort of mitigate the, dilute the advantages of loser pays?
No, and that's the brilliance of the system. It spreads the risk for plaintiffs, but not all suits can get insured. See, only good suits can get insured.
So they'll actually, you're saying the insurance company will actually do a little, what's the word I want to use? They'll do an evaluation? An evaluation, yeah. And they'll do an evaluation, kind of an appraisal of your prospects before they insure it?
Absolutely, yes. It introduces underwriting into the process of filing lawsuits.
That's the word I was looking for, underwriting, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically insurance doesn't keep loser pays from working. What it does do is keep loser pays from being scary or unfair for people who have, you know, modest funds, and that's very reasonable. The way loser pays litigation insurance works in England is that, you know, there's a small premium that can be advanced by the plaintiff's lawyer. So the plaintiffs themselves don't have to have any money at all at the time. And other alternative arrangements you can make with the insurance company are that you only get charged a premium if you win or settle the case.
Ah.
So the insurance companies themselves are sort of working on a contingent fee basis some of the time.
Right. So it actually would create another industry in the United States, wouldn't it?
It would create a legal expenses insurance industry. That's right.
I only got a few seconds. Is this got any chance of happening in the United States with the tort system we got now with the trial bar we have now?
Well, I want to encourage you to remember that most litigation and most nuisance litigation takes place at the state level. So all we need to do is convince individual states that
just
this
get
is a good
state
experiment.
To do it like they have in Alaska.
Exactly.
One
so
state
I
at
am
a time.
Hopeful. Yeah,
I like that idea. Hey, Marie Griffin, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Marie Griffin, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. Let's work on this, folks. I got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.